coming up this season on The Bachelorette.
After the show, it's the after party.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Tony from Red Beard Podcast. I'm hanging out with my wife, Becca.
Happy Bachelor Week 5. What happens in Vegas ends up on national television for everybody to see and judge.
Yeah, well, not everything that was filmed was shown. I'm sure there's a lot of other crap that went down. Speaking of being in Vegas, I posed the question, do you think these guys actually get to go out like and hang out in Vegas when like Becca's doing her thing?
I don't think that they do. I think that they have to stay put in their beautiful suite. I know that sucks, but can we just talk about the fact that they're staying at the Aria?
Where we stayed.
Also, the Ari.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little weird.
I mean,
I think they did it on purpose.
It was either that or the Aria wanted some good free advertising in exchange for some nice rooms for the boys.
What was funny is that they were staying in the same room that we stayed in.
Just kidding. We Poe.
Yeah. No, we're not. Jesus.
Well, no, but we stayed in like the commoner rooms. You know what
but
I mean?
It was actually, I have to say, the Aria was a pretty baller hotel. My favorite moment in that hotel is like, you know, it's all automated where you
don't
get to
tell
actually,
them about your favorite moment.
No, it was really weird how we were in the room one night and they have all these, you know, it's like basically like an iPad or a tablet where you can like select different scenes. And I was like, what's romance? And all of a sudden, like the friggin' like big scrim in front of the window to like the strip closed. And like, it was kind of just the scrim. You could still see outside.
What's scrim?
It's like, you know, the little like black like thing that covers you can still see through it.
Okay.
But it wasn't the actual curtain.
It's called
curtain.
A shrimp?
Well, I don't know. In theater, it was called the scrim. Whatever. I don't know. Anyway, so that actually covered the window. You could still see outside. And all of a sudden, like, the lights went down. The TV popped on and started playing smooth jazz. I'm like, oh, shit. So, I mean, that was fun. But, I mean, it was still a very classy hotel.
It would have been so much better if they played Wayne Newton instead. Don't you think?
Speaking of Wayne Newton, he was in this episode.
That's why I brought it up.
I wasn't even sure that was Wayne Newton when I saw him. He's had some serious plastic surgery.
He looks like Jessica Lange. Like, he just looks... That is horrendous. When they were like, oh, and look at my new friend, Wayne Newton. It's like, half those guys don't know who he is.
No, everybody knows who Wayne Newton is.
No, a lot of those guys are young. Either that or they're like, oh, it's the guy from Vegas Vacation.
No, I feel like you have to know who Wayne Newton is.
I don't know. That's relic.
But no, I mean, look, Frank Sinatra and Wayne Newton were around at the same time. Like, Wayne Newton is famous for Docka Shane, which was also something that Ferris Bueller sang on the float. Like, that is a famous, famous song. You have to know who sings that.
Just don't ask Lincoln what Donka Shane means.
Yeah, it means thank you. For those of you who didn't know, I didn't even know what Donka Shane means.
Are there other words in that song besides Donka Shane?
Yeah, thank you for all the joy and pain.
Anything else?
A lot of other stuff. I'm not going to go through the whole lyrics. Look it up. But no, seriously, the only thing that was very weird is that he invited his plastic surgery wife to come out as well. And he's like, oh, the song takes on a whole, because he sang like a couple lyrics of Docka Shane. And then all of a sudden he was like, but it's so much different when I sing it to my wife. And then he sings it to his wife. And it was even more awkward because one of his plastic surgery eyes was half open. So like, that's the other thing that's really weird.
And honestly, we're not trying to make fun of anybody, but it's hard not to when they roll out this dinosaur.
You know what he looked like? You know, you ever lift up a porcelain doll and their eyes are supposed to open, one of them stays shut?
Yes.
That's what was going on with him, but in real time. It was very awkward. But I gotta give him props. I mean, Wayne Newton, he's a legend. It was kind of cool to see his sick house. He has a pretty awesome house, and he's got an original microphone that Frank Sinatra used, which I think is really cool. Them both
being
artists.
He has his own peacock.
Yeah, he's got peacocks. He's got horses.
We have a chicken.
Yeah.
On the cast, and he has his own peacock.
Yeah, it was insane, man.
What did you think of the singing? What did you think of the whole singing date?
All right, listen, that was awful. I don't understand why she thinks that because these guys are on The Bachelorette that they have good voices. It's almost like setting them up for failure. You know, like, these guys are not singers. I'm not a singer, but I know that I could actually hold a tune a lot better than those guys. I've done like Frank Sinatra.
Frank's.
Whatever.
Frank's and beans.
Frank's hot sauce. Frank's red hot sauce. No, I've done New York, New York, Frank Sinatra, for karaoke and gotten multiple compliments, toot my own horn.
Toot toot.
So I know I'd be able to hold a tune, but some of these guys, like, I feel like they've never done karaoke or never, like, or maybe they haven't, just awful at it. But it's like, they're all bad. I expected one of them to be decent.
Well,
and they just weren't.
Chris was working the crowd.
Yeah, but Chris wasn't doing it. Chris was still awful. He was just energetic. That's the only difference. And he was one of my big problems with this episode.
He made this episode very cringy. And also, I just wanted to take, you know, those oil blotters? I wanted to take that and just put it all over his face because he was, like, sweating bullets.
Well, that's because he was pissed off the whole time. Or he was, like, worried that Becca didn't want to, like, you know, give him a kiss on the cheek. It
you know
was really
what?
Weird.
I know that we're jumping around. I did not like when, during the cocktail party, he said to her, this is Chris now, you owe me like 50,000 kisses. She doesn't owe you anything. You're coming off like a creep.
I mean, I think he meant that as a joke. I mean, kind of like, you know, that he didn't really, she didn't really kind of, you know, give him any time. And I think that's what his joke was. But I also feel like it's, that was very weird to me where he's just kind of like, oh, I'm just going to sit back. I'm just going to sit back. And then he got pissed off that he didn't have time with her. It's like, man, it's not about her coming to you. Like, if you want to get time with her, you have to be proactive and go after it. And she made a very good point, but I also feel like she's kind of being a little bit of a, she's being kind of a tool about it in some ways where she's kind of like, well, you know, I just don't know if I feel it. Like, if you're not going to fight for me, it's like, well, yeah, I can kind of see that. But at the same time, like, you have to understand, like, all these guys are trying to get time with you. And if maybe he was waiting for the last moment and just was like a couple minutes shy, you know, I don't know if that's enough to necessarily hold it against him and say that he's not in it 50-50.
I know, but there it's getting down to the final, you know, 10 or 8 or whatever it is now. And now is when the time
yeah,
really
whatever.
Counts.
What is it, like next week's the finale or some crap?
No.
This is coming up. So,
but also, she's not feeling him. I don't know why she kept him. I guess I understand why she would keep Chris over Venmo guy. Because we've only seen only so much of John.
All right, look, we only know him as Venmo guy. That's why he's going home. Okay? Like, plus he's got a business to run. You know, he's got to figure out, you know, how to transfer her money or some shit when he gets back. I was surprised that he was on this long. Like, I really was. He's probably a super nice guy, but we've seen no connection with her and John versus her and Chris. Like, they had a one-on-one, the whole Richard Marks date. I'm still under the impression that Richard Marks was somewhere in this episode, but we didn't see him.
No, he came in as Wayne Newton. Like,
oh, that was
he
him?
Was dressed as Wayne Newton.
Maybe that's why his face looks so bad.
Him and Wayne Newton go to the same plastic surgeon.
He was wearing a really bad Wayne Newton mask.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, no, I just, yeah, I'm not surprised that John went home at all.
And you know what? John's not going to end up on Bachelor in Paradise. Like, we're never going to see John again.
I don't think that's really John's game. I don't really feel like he'd be a Bachelor in Paradise guy. And if he does, he's going to be like that last guy, like the last week that shows up. And he's like, hey, yeah, I figured I'd find love here in the last day. You know, like,
and then nobody wants him.
And then
him.
Nobody, yeah. And then he's just like talking to the bartender. Like
Wells.
Oh, Wells. Is that who's there again?
Wells going to be the bartender again, yeah.
Oh,
he's
really?
Still dating that chick from Modern Family, P.S.,
oh, cool. She's probably going to show up. She's probably going to make some kind of weird appearance.
No, she's been in the hospital.
For what?
She's like a kidney disease. Well, we're digressing.
Well, I know she lost the kidney, but she only has one kidney.
She has like a, but she continues to suffer from kidney disease.
Oh, geez.
Anyway, I'm sorry that we're sidetracking. Okay, so I want to get to, we cannot let the podcast go without talking about the 2-on-1. An amazing 2-on-1 date.
Yeah, I listen. I've been a fan of Jordan since the...
Yeah, you're Team Jordan.
Oh, I'm totally Team Jordan. You want to know why, man? Because he is who he is, and he's just going to be that. And if Becca didn't like it, then she didn't like it, and that's why he went home after the chicken.
The chicken got plucked.
Oh, wow. No, but I mean, listen, I've had a problem with that guy, with David. Even though I vouched for him in like the second episode and was like, ah, he's funny. He came in as the chicken. He doesn't care. But when you constantly are attacking somebody and putting every, you know, section of your being into taking down somebody else, you just put off a negative vibe. And Colton was even like saying, like, he's just got this negativity about him because he's always trying to take down Jordan. And Jordan is just like sitting there, you know, like just letting this guy talk, being very calm. And I feel like it was only a matter of time before David's true colors were going to be seen by Becca. You know, like, dude, you know, you fell off the bed on your face and
your eye is still so messed up.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's bloody. That's the only saving grace why you're still on the show. You know, because she felt bad that you didn't get, like, that you came back and blah, blah, blah with your raccoon eyes.
He just was he was baiting him the whole episode.
No, the whole season He's been baiting him. And it just came to the point where when they were on this one-on-one date, I mean, Jordan was the only one that actually took the time to try to turn the tables and open up and being like, you know, my mother has, like, multiple mental illnesses, and you know, I've seen my dad, you know, love her through all of it, and like, you know, I know what real love is, and that's what I want, you know. And I think, like, she started to see, like, there is, like, a person inside this, like, model facade that he kind of puts on, and she saw more from him than David, who was just basically trying to get her to see Jordan for something that he technically, I don't think he was, and getting him kicked off. So it was satisfying to see David go first, and then Jordan actually.
I was really happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, because I think Jordan's one flaw is he's still a young guy. Like, how old is he?
He's 27.
He's 27 years old. I mean, he's not that young.
Yeah, but in the grand scheme of things, like, that's young.
But all right. But I mean, I think his one flaw is that his career makes everything about him, and he's so used to putting on this facade for everybody that he doesn't really know how to be himself yet, and he's got to figure that out. Because when they were actually talking, it was all about him, and, like, you know, his question was, like, so, like, chat on Tinder, like, what do your weekends look like?
Yeah,
you know, it's like, that's such a cheesy question. Like, why don't you ask her about her family? Like, why don't you try to get to know her? I mean, I guess that's kind of cool. Like, do you want to know if she's the type of girl who wants to go out both days, or does she want to, like, hang in on a Saturday and, like, your PJs and just, like, chill and watch Netflix?
Go to church and then have brunch.
Yeah. I mean, like, what kind of person is that? And then he's like, oh, you know, like, I have a pretty strict regimen. I go to the gym and then I work on, like, my hair and my makeup. Like, she doesn't want to hear that. You know? And that's, I think that's what the downfall was.
Because she just kept saying, oh, he makes me laugh. And then I think she even said it, but that's it. And by the way, Jordan ends up on Bachelor in Paradise. So we will be seeing him in just a few weeks, in case you missed the male model and all of his blue steelness.
I honestly feel like that's going to be, I'm obviously going to watch that for this guy because I think he's hilarious.
You love him. All right, we have to talk about Blake. So they had a very interesting interaction earlier on in the episode, and it happened so fast that I had to rewind it a couple times, actually, because Blake said, you know, I'm sad that Jean Blanc took this opportunity away for saying, you know, he said, I love you or whatever. I'm falling in love with you because I wanted to be the one to say it. Mm-hmm. And then in one of her confessionals, she says, I mean, I've been falling in love with Blake. And I can't remember any other bachelorette or bachelor saying it this early that they were falling for one of the contestants or whatever you want to call them. So I thought that was a very poignant moment in the episode.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? I mean, I've been team Blake since the beginning. Like, I honestly feel like this guy is going to be the dude.
Are you team Jordan or team Blake, though?
Well, Jordan's gone. Jordan's gone.
Who is your loyalty to, Jon Snow?
Listen, so I think obviously for, like, comedic relief and just, like, you know, being funny and making me laugh during the episode, just because he's kind of, like, it's just who he is just team Jordan. But since he went home, I mean, I've always been team Blake. I feel like this guy is the right guy for her. But I feel like looking at the contestants now, it's between Blake and Garrett. Like, those are the two front runners.
She, like, is loving herself some goofy Garrett.
Yeah. I mean, they did show some previews, though, where, like, Leo's getting some action.
I am so happy that Leo's sticking around. I was so relieved. We are not getting enough Leo time.
But
can
I
we
feel
just
like,
dump
feel
Lincoln
like,
in the woods somewhere and just get Leo? Just,
with his Lincoln logs?
Yes.
I feel like you know, Leo's going to get a one-on-one with her where we're really going to get to see who this guy is. You know, like, he's going to show her, like, what it's like to be in a Cinemax movie. Like,
Skinamax movie. Softcore porn. Yeah, because also Jason, you know, like the Patrick Bateman guy, like the hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Wall Street. He's friends with Gronk.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
Because they're from Buffalo. He was at like a charity event over the weekend with him. So I think Jason will, I think Jason, Blake, and Garrett could be our top three. I don't really know about anybody else. Maybe the Connor guy, he's probably going to go soon. Lincoln, please. This is getting so awkward with how, you know, we know about his criminal past.
Well, we know Chris is going to go too. Chris is gone. He's probably going to be gone next episode.
True.
Because he flips out in like the previews and he gets into a thing with Lincoln. And then you see What's-His-Face walking out. Yeah, the guy who threw the painting in the water, the picture
Connor?
In the water. I don't know what his name is. I just call him Hair Flip.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I mean, he was kind of walking out.
Glasses. He had all of a sudden had glasses.
Yeah,
yes.
But they made that kind of funny because it was not funny, but they made it very interesting editing because they're like, oh, and then all of a sudden he just lost it and got up and left and freaked out. And then they show Hair Flip walking out of the door. And I don't think it's him. I think it has to do with Chris and Lincoln actually getting into some kind of verbal altercation and one of them flips out and leaves. And I feel like that's going to be probably where Chris and Lincoln go home.
Okay. Okay. And then where does Wills fit into this whole thing?
Wills is probably going to stick around. Wills is going to stick around for a while because I think she actually found that attractive when he was like, I'm going to politely ask you to get up. Like, she sees kind of like the...
I liked that like whole interaction.
That was super awkward, by the way. Let's talk about that. It was kind of like, here's my thing. And like I said, it's all about
so
editing.
You're talking about when Wills...
And Chris
had a little rat-a-tat back and forth.
Yeah, like Chris basically was like, you know, Castanio for a second. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, he was like, yo, man, I just got been here for like a minute. And then all of a sudden he's like, well, can I borrow? It's really important. He's like, I need you to like go come back. And then he kept going at it. But then like Wills like came back after 2 minutes and was like, hey, man, what's up?
I'm still in my plaid suit.
Yeah. And then he's just like, I'm going to have to ask you to get up. And then all of a sudden he just like kept going. And I respect him standing his ground. And I think Becca was kind of attracted to that. But it was awkward because Becca didn't say anything. She was just letting them like get into this thing and it was really awkward. And then she was like, I'll come find you later.
I'll come
find you.
Yeah. But again, Chris and her just had way more FaceTime that we saw.
Yeah.
Than Venmo guy. So that's it.
Yeah.
Anything else about the episode that you wanted to point out?
I just feel like it was kind of, and granted, I mean, we didn't necessarily get a chance to see anything else, but for an episode that took place in Vegas, I thought this was pretty weak. Like, you go to Vegas and they don't really show...
I know, we didn't even really get to talk about Colton too much because I don't really think that there's a whole lot there with Colton. I just feel like, yeah, he'll be there next week. He's cute. He's a horrible kisser. When he was kissing her, it was like how our cat kisses me. Like
I thought that was actually really funny. Like Red just comes up and like licks you.
Yeah, just feel like Colton is just, has he confessed being a virgin yet or no? We haven't heard that.
No, I don't think so.
Because the editing made it, they pointed it out because they were like, wherever they were going on their date, there was a sign that said like Virgin Highway or something like that. So it's going to be coming up, but Colton's not going to be sticking around.
Well, we already know he ends up on Bachelor in Paradise from some of the pictures and rumors and whatnot. I mean, I just wanted to see more Vegas stuff. Like, it would have been cool if they went to, like, the Stratosphere and, like, did some of the rides, you know? Or, like, who's going to jump off the Stratosphere? You know, like, that would be one of the challenges. I feel like that would have been Vegas.
Instead of Dusty Wayne Newton.
Yeah, I mean, well, the Wayne Newton is like a Vegas staple, but they went like off strip for that. They went like to Wayne Newton's like, you know, house out in the middle of Vegas. I mean,
yes,
I don't know.
His crypt.
I feel like they could have done something else. The room that they were in where they did the whole like singing was this very small room.
In Wayne Newton's house.
No, it's like they booked the room. You know what I mean? Yeah, it might have been Wayne Newton's house. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he had a little like stage, you know, to practice Doc Ashane. I think it was just very intimate. It was super weird. it was almost like this audience was like, you know, the audience they get together at the end of like a bar rescue. It was weird, you know, like it seemed really cheeseball. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out where are they going now? Nebraska? What the hell is it? Virginia?
Going to Richmond, Virginia, which yeah. does not sound as sexy as Vegas.
Yeah. She made that sound like she's like, oh, it's the city for lovers. Well, and she said Virginia. Virginia is
for lovers.
I don't know. I've never heard that before. And Virginia isn't next to, you know, it's not the place that I plan on going for that. Or meet Virginia.
No, that's where Colton is going to say, I'm a virgin because he's in Virginia.
Oh, God, come on. That's so bad. Maybe. And why is that a factor? Why? Why is that a factor? There are some people that save it for marriage. Fine. I mean, I'm not definitely saying that like that's where my head was at. But I mean, why would you not? Why is that a problem?
When I met you, you weren't a virgin.
Oh, man. We could have a conversation. Things just got awkward. So I don't understand like why that's a problem.
In this franchise, like the only other virgin I can think of was Ashley I, and they made a humongous deal about that. So it's very interesting to have a guy, you know, have it flipped a little bit. That's why.
Yeah, maybe she, I don't know, wants somebody that like knows what's up. Like she doesn't have to like show him the ropes. You know what I mean?
I'm sure that the whole virgin thing is all fake anyway.
Probably, which is why I think it's such a bullshit thing to bring up.
But
yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're still team
Garrett. She's gonna pick Garrett 110%. She likes how goofy he is. She likes his smile. She's in love with Garrett.
Well, listen, I did a little digging and I went into like one of the old pictures that was posted about who it's supposed to be in the finale, and like the guy that she's with looks exactly like Garrett. But I will say this. I've seen stuff like that come out before, and I feel like it could be a photo of her and Garrett, but possibly her and Garrett don't work out. And maybe it's like it actually ends up being her and Blake or her and somebody else. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. And I feel like people leak things on purpose to make people think a certain way. But we won't know until the end of the season. But I mean, I thought this episode was good, man. I can't wait to see Chris and Lincoln go home next week. That's my prediction.
Same.
So, yeah, that wraps up our recap of episode 5. So with that being said,
if you did not receive a rose, take a moment, say your goodbyes.
Bye.
The Bachelor After Party with Becca and Tony will be released every Monday night following the episode, and you can find us on Podbean and iTunes.